Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Beyond Consulting. I am your host, Jason Blonstein. I'm a managing director at ECA Partners. And with us today is Stephen Hubbell. Stephen, thank you for joining. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jason.
So, Stephen, why don't we start by, you know, walk us through your career, where you started, especially on the consulting side, and kind of where things are at now, and would love to just kind of hear your story.
Okay. Well, maybe before I get into where I was at in consulting, I'll start with a little bit of my background in industry. I think I had a somewhat different path into consulting than some. So after undergrad, I went into the insurance industry. Short period of time, but end up transitioning into that industry fairly quickly and worked in a variety of different operational roles, leading into leadership. And pretty quickly, I found that I wanted more, and the types of problems that I got to solve weren't quite satisfying to me. And so I figured out, what is it that I need to do to get to those bigger, meatier problems, bigger, meatier challenges companies are facing? I felt a lot of times I was actually quite constrained by someone had already made like the big decision at the company or at the organization, and I was there just making the smaller decisions around how we executed. And so that's what led me to consulting. And so by the time I entered after my MBA, I was right at the 10 to 12 year mark of industry experience. And so after I graduated from Booth, ended up joining EY Parthenon, which was a firm that gave me an opportunity that allowed me from day one to focus specifically on that industry. So I was able to align from day one, still entering kind of at that consultant level. And so I was able to work through EY Parthenon both on transaction type work, so deal processes on buy side, sell side, as well as some of the bigger strategic projects around overall enterprise strategy, business unit, go-to-market strategies. And some of the big problems that they face around, a lot of companies in insurance typically are saying we spend a lot on innovation, but what are we really getting from that spend? So that was another big challenge that I worked quite a bit on.
That's interesting. I frequently hear from consultants that, part of why they want to leave consulting is because they don't feel like they have the ownership. But for you, you wanted to go into consulting because you wanted ownership of bigger problems and to be kind of more upstream with the decision making. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think that's right, Jason. For me, it was really internally, when you start out in operations, I found it very challenging to pivot into a strategy role or pivot into a business unit leader role where I truly own P&L. And I found consulting to be a very nice path that got me much closer to that type of role or to that type of ownership within an organization.
Yeah. So what made you want to leave and then come back into industry?
I think when I went into consulting, I always had a longer term vision that I was going to go back to industry at some point. I didn't know when or how, or really what that was going to look like. But I did have a serious commitment to the insurance sector and knowing that I wanted to make an impact in that space. And looking back, I don't know if I even would have expected or would have transitioned back to industry as quick as I did. It was really around that 2.5-3 year mark that I made the pivot back into insurance on the industry side. And I think that had a lot to do with this little thing called COVID, which the world of consulting at the time I was there went through a very major change where, I only had about 9 months on the ground working with clients on site. And suddenly we went 100% remote and tried to figure out how do we continue to serve those same clients, solve those same problems in a remote environment.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a tough time for consultants. And then and on top of the consulting firms figuring out this remote work thing and how they were going to do it. But many of their clients were still trying to figure it out and asking them for consulting advice on how to figure it out. So it was just certainly a pretty huge spike in consulting activity, at the beginning of the pandemic there. So when you moved from EY, you moved to Physicians, correct?
Yeah, Physicians Mutual.
Okay. And what were the major hurdles that you faced when you were transitioning into industry?
I think transitioning into industry, it was probably easier for me than some, because I keep in mind I came from industry.
Yep.
And so it's going back. And so I definitely benefited from knowing, I would say, some of the key issues, the problems, the operation pretty well. Mm-hmm. Getting to know like what true full ownership of like leading a big strategic initiative looked like. What I maybe wasn't as well prepared for is going back into that role, you're really at the mercy of the context of that organization you're joining. And what I mean by that is once I joined, I started at reporting directly to the CEO. I led innovation, strategy, and corporate development, a new capability. Mm-hmm. The company had kind of, you know, they had people doing some of that work, but it wasn't really a fully developed or matured capability. And I had to almost treat it like an engagement where I had to figure out what is it that you actually want as an outcome from this investment in myself and the team I was building. And then the other part came in, which is the pace of change and even the willingness to change is very different when you're in an organization versus when you are working with one specific stakeholder. At the end of the day, when you're consulting, there's one person that signs that SOW that has highly aligned interests as you, that is very focused on making some sort of change, getting to a certain decision. And suddenly you're in this organization where, although I report to the CEO, I have six peers who all have competing priorities. And at the end of the day, I'm here to serve really all of them as we architect our go-forward strategy. So that was an interesting dynamic, and really figuring out how do you navigate in the most effective way was a really fun challenge that took me about 9 months to probably get to the end of that, where we had high level of clarity. That goes back to, you know, the pace of change of that organization. If they aren't willing to move or want to move quickly, you have to slow down and realize the process really matters. The stakeholder relationships really matter. And investing a lot of time in the way that that organization wants you to be successful, to bring about that change and different mindset, quite frankly, that we wanted to organizationally have everyone move forward aligned around.
Yeah. I've heard that before from consultants, that they're, as a consultant, you have to deliver, you've got a deadline, and sometimes that's a very aggressive deadline, and you're just used to push, and you get results that way. And, you know, if you go into a company and do that, one, you're going to be met with resistance. Two, you're going to burn a lot of bridges pretty quick, you know. So learning to kind of change the pace at which you're expecting change to happen is definitely, I think, something that a lot of consultants have to adjust to.
Mm-hmm. And it varies so significantly from one organization to another. And it's not always easy to know upfront what that is going to be within that organization that you're joining. Because a lot of times what you'll find is the talking points are spot on of this is what we need to do, this is what we need to focus on, and when we need to get it done. Sometimes the tactical execution or the decision and the decisions the organization makes start to tell you a different story. And you have to start wrapping your head around, okay, how do I make these two different points of view reconcile and make sense within the context of this role and what we're trying to accomplish?
How about skill gaps? So certainly there was kind of an idea, you know, like there was a cultural shift. There was, you know, learning kind of, like we said, about pacing and things like that. But what, any skill gaps, anything that you felt like you either didn't have or most consultants won't have, or something that you felt you had to get better at when you made that transition?
Jason, I think there's two things that come to mind when you ask me that question. It's the first one has to do with, I really think about it as managing the scope of work. It is very different when you go from executing an engagement, which is a very clearly defined scope of work, something with clear deliverables, mm-hmm. moving into something where this just needs to become part of the broader system of the organization, and figure out how and where you have to plug it in so that it, you know, if it gets to a decision, what comes next? how do you align the stakeholders, the resources to make sure that that happens, and taking ownership for kind of that broader scope. And it becomes much more challenging to manage all those stakeholders, especially when you're new to an organization. You don't have all the institutional knowledge, the corporate capital within the organization, and those relationships already built. So I found that to be somewhat challenging. You have to get up to speed very quickly to be able to think through all of those components. And you also don't have that internal advocate that signed the SOW that's probably running interference for you on most of those things already when you're as a consultant. The other item I noticed, and I think this may be more of a challenge for some coming out of consulting than it was for me, but it is, you have to be able to know the details of how to execute. So there were some consulting engagements I was on where you never had to get into the tactical details of something very, very specifically that could be very technical in nature. Sometimes you did, sometimes you didn't. It really varied on the client engagement. It's very common that more often than not, I'm finding myself getting pulled into some of those. And it's not all the time, but it's making sure that you know those technical details. And so if, for instance, in my situation, if I hadn't come from the insurance industry previously, I would have had a much tougher learning curve to ramp up to be able to do some of the work that we're doing today. An example for me would be part of my role is corporate development. I have never run an entire corporate development team. My experience from consulting was really focused on deal management. So I knew that piece of it very, very well.
Yeah.
But let me get, like, even though I have a Booth MBA, doesn't mean I'm great at valuation. So how do I go out and build a team around me that can help with that, build some internal stakeholders that can help to support that component? We're an insurance company. We have a lot of actuaries. Guess what? They're really great at modeling. And so can I pull in people that can round out that skill set has been somewhat helpful.
Yeah. Maybe tell me about your current role, your current company. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So my current role, I lead our corporate strategy team. I lead our corporate development team, as well as our innovation team. So when I originally started, that included a team of one. So there's myself and one other individual that had been at the organization for quite some time. Over the last 2 years since I've been here, we've built out the corporate strategy team. So we now have, and we run it very similar to a consulting team, where I have a former consultant that joined me as our director of corporate strategy. He has two analysts on his team, and we do a lot of project-based work. About 50% of our work is project-based. The other 50% is really aligned to our 12-month planning cycle. So how are we very deliberately planning those key strategy sessions where we ask the big, I sometimes call them the big stupid questions, but you know, how are we doing? Are we happy with the results that we're getting? And what is it we need to be doing differently? Just very high level key questions, and then working with the business to bring forward the data that helps us to understand and answer those questions appropriately. So that's been, I think, where we spent the most of our time. Corporate development, we built that out to where we are now equipped so that we can execute on inorganic opportunities, whether that's strategic investments or full mergers and acquisitions, as well as some strategic partnership-based work. And then innovation is really our newest element that we're really focused on this year, which is, to us, very different than maybe 2 years ago when I joined, what I originally thought I'd be doing. It's not the, you know, 5 year out future of what a customer may want, need, and desire. It's really around operational excellence for us, that as we took note of the maturity of the organization and what they need, the context in which I operate today, that's what we need to do. We need to figure out, how do we reorganize people, process, and technology to bring about the best result for our customer while also driving out operational efficiencies.
Got it. You know, along those lines, and how do you measure success? What are you looking at in terms of, as a leader in your industry, what are your KPIs?
That's been an interesting one that we've worked on internally to figure out, how should we measure my success? And I would say that I think many leaders of strategy organizations struggle with that. So how do you ultimately figure out if you are successful? And CEOs trying to measure your results are thinking the same thing of how do you make this more objective than subjective? And what we've landed on are a couple of elements. One has to do with how is the business performing? How I view this role is, although we are not typically executing, we are facilitating, we are aligning, and we are bringing focus to the organization. And through those efforts, we should be able to improve the organization's abilities to meet goals. And so we do have some performance tied back to overall organizational performance. The second one has to do with how we're getting executive buy-in and alignment. And, you know, 80% of a strategy executive's role is change management, quite frankly, and stakeholder management. How are we measuring ourselves through both quantitative and qualitative feedback mechanisms with executive leaders to understand how do they think we're doing? Do they feel that we're aligned as an organization? Do they feel like we are effectively adding value to their processes, to the work that they're doing to drive that outcome? And then the third piece is, and this is maybe one that I championed a little bit more than others, but trying to make sure there aren't any surprises at the organization. So trying to figure out as a team, how do we make sure that there isn't a team or business unit off doing something that suddenly becomes a big organizational surprise to us? It becomes a big organizational ask for resourcing, or it's a big miss of a target. How do we just bring transparency to the most important work that we all should be focused on and doing, and being able to demonstrate that we have done that? And a key outcome that we expect is fewer surprises.
It's interesting. Very, very. Yeah, I haven't really heard that before, but that makes a lot of sense. I mean, especially for a team that is responsible for planning, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the last thing you want when you have a plan is, you know, unplanned things, surprises. So that makes a lot of sense.
And one thing, Jason, I can say on that would be, we had a very large organizational goal focused on growth when I started. And I sat down with many of the business leaders that, you know, the marketing people, the sales people, the product people, and everyone was saying, well, you know, we're not going to hit that number. You know, we're not going to hit that number. But I would go to the executive team, and the executive team would say, no, we're on a path. We're going to hit those numbers. And so it's just some of those little things of how do we bring together all the right people, create the feedback loops that are necessary so that you can have appropriate goals that are set, ways to address those goals when the plans get off the rails, just so it isn't at the end of that multi-year period that we're working towards a surprise to
right.
anybody. Just bring that transparency. Yeah. And it's kind of maturing of the organization is how I framed it. You know, let's take what we've learned. Let's take what we like. Let's take what hasn't worked and change the components that are tied to that.
I have always found transparency to be one of the keys to having a good culture at a company too, right? I mean, it's just people want to be informed. People want to know what's going on, you know, and that's great that that's such a huge priority. Looking back at your career, is there anything you would do differently if you, you know, could do it over?
I always think that's an interesting question. For me, I don't know if I would phrase it quite that way, because I think that implies that I have regret about a decision that I made. And so I like to think about it as, are there things that I've learned along the way that caused me to do things differently, either today or in the future? I would say there's definitely been several of those along the way. On face value, how I might have answered that question would be, sure, like I wish I would have gone off and gotten my, you know, either right out of undergrad, tried to get into a strategy role, you know, sooner, yeah. or maybe gone directly into consulting or gotten my MBA sooner. But if I truly reflect back on why I am where I am, I think I've been fortunate for all the, fortunate because of all the experiences that I've had. And some of them did not go the way I had planned or wanted. But the learnings from those set me up to be successful both as a consultant, but then also post-consulting. And I think probably the two key learnings that I've had would be, one, really figuring out, like, the one thing I loved about consulting, I also loved this about when I was getting my MBA, surrounding yourself with very bright, smart, motivated, and driven people. What I found is that's what brought out the best in me. I'm a fairly competitive person. And so guess what? I did a better work product when I was surrounded by those types of people. My brain just got stretched further because I wanted to make sure whatever I was putting forth was the best that it could be. And so I think that's a really interesting thing. And, you know, reflecting back, there were points and times in my career that I don't think I was surrounded by enough of those individuals that pushed me. And now knowing that's how I operate best, I intentionally surround myself with people that will push me and push my team. And quite frankly, I try to hire people on my team that are much smarter than I am to make sure that I can continue to cultivate that type of environment. The second item would be really around being intentional with the decisions I made. And that can be both more on the personal side, but also on the professional side, which is the destination doesn't always have to stay the same of where you want to go, but just knowing where it is that you're trying to get to. Because there were times in my career, I would say that I opportunistically took on a new role, but there quite frankly was probably, there still was learning within the prior situation or where I was at. And did I sell myself short by moving to that next opportunity? I would say a couple of times, yes. I could have continued to learn and evolve. And so really knowing what you want to work towards, that end goal changed multiple times for me when I was still a consultant, when I was planning my exit. Quite frankly, my exit was hopefully going to be moving to an insurtech, so a startup. I was targeting Series B, Series C company in the hyper-growth phase. After exploring, you know, four different companies, getting very close, but never quite being able to come to terms on an offer for any one of those organizations, I really sat back and said, what is it that I'm trying to work towards? And a company that looks nothing like a startup is where I ended up. And I would say that I've been highly successful and happier with this. And so kind of taking time to say, why did this happen? And was this the right fit? Really helped, I think, bring some clarity around that.
Yeah. There are a lot of consultants that I talk to that are very interested in moving into the startup world. And I can appreciate it, you know, because especially if they're young in their career and they want to do something like a little more, they want to take a big swing. But what I find a lot of times is they aren't often willing to compromise on other things that might be required, you know, compensation being one big one when you're talking about, you know, moving to a startup. You know, they're just not going to pay you as well as the consulting firms are, right? So if a lot of your worth is tied to that number or that title, you know, it can be a hard pill for some people to swallow. And then I think a lot of people find when they go into the startup world, I'm sorry, it's not as sexy as they thought, in that it's, you're very limited on resources. You can't always get things done. Like, and to your point earlier about, you know, having to execute, right? And having to get into the details. Well, here there's going to be no one else to get into the details in a startup world. So it's interesting. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's exactly what I found, Jason, is the comp, they just couldn't get competitive. And I was willing to be very flexible. But yeah, when you try to balance out the risk associated with the potential long-term reward, it just wasn't a risk profile that I was comfortable with. And then coming to this environment, very established, we're, you know, been around over 120 years as a company, a ton of excess capital that is available to deploy, extremely stable, which allows us to invest in a lot of the, what I would truly are nice to have things. So like the company isn't a corporate mandate or absolute need to invest in innovation, but they have the financial fortitude that they can invest in innovation. And yes, that doesn't mean that we don't have to deliver results, but we're able to do that in a way that is more thoughtful, is more methodical in how we approach it. And I found that that is much more aligned with really what I wanted as a next step.
Going back to what you had mentioned earlier about, you know, working, you know, the things in your MBA program and being a consultant, you really enjoyed working with smart people and looking for that as you moved into the corporate world. That's another topic that I hear pretty frequently amongst consultants. And one of the things that they, a lot of times I'll say they really missed about being a consultant is that the, you know, the caliber of the other, their coworkers. You know, I think, you know, to shamelessly plug ECA here, it's one of the things that I love about my current company as well is, you know, I've been a lot of places where, you know, it was my responsibility and solely on my shoulders to kind of move the ball forward all the time, where here we have a ton of people that do it. And I don't feel that that onus is just on me. And it's great. It's a great feeling to know that you're all working together and moving forward. How do you prioritize that? What would be your advice for people looking for that? And how did you know that, like, you kind of had it when you were engaged with physicians?
I think for me, how I thought about it when I was pivoting out of consulting is making sure that I was spending more time than I had in the past to get to know the organization. And multiple people within that organization so that I could get a sense of what is, I call it, where's the bar set for that group of individuals that they brought together to say this is their employee base? What do they think good looks like? So that I could understand, is this going to live up to my expectation or really the type of environment I want to live in? So I spent more time with people having everyday conversations. And I was fortunate enough to have that type of access. The other thing that I was very direct about through the process of hiring and get onboarding is I wanted the ability to build my own team. And I wanted to be able to build my own team the way I wanted to build it, not being constrained by, oh, we need to, you know, forever, you know, 50% of any hires on your team need to be internal, or you're going to have to abide by this specific comp schedule to make sure there's internal equity across all the organizations. I tried to intentionally address some of those concerns that could be barriers to attracting top-tier talent, which is really what I saw was going to be critically important for us in the organization. And so part of how I addressed it for me in this situation is really allowing myself the ability to hire a team around me that gave me that kind of a fallback option of, you know, if I can't find that at the company, I want to be able to hire that. And now that I've been here for 2 years, it's been a nice blend. We found some very key individuals, organizations that we can tap into. We pull them into our key projects. Quite frankly, they're our advocate in the business that says, oh, that's a really big problem. If we want to do that right, maybe we should pull in the strategy team to help. And then I've been able to bring in a couple individuals, one of them that has, you know, did management consulting for a few years, private equity before that, that's been key to the team to really make sure we push not only the team, our internal team, but the broader organization with how we think about things and attack problems.
No, that's great. When you have that reputation and you're seen as the go-to person for things like that, I mean, that's pretty much the intent. So congrats on that. But, you know, many of our listeners are currently management consultants and they're considering their next steps in their career. What advice would you give them?
Well, the advice that I would share is I went to management consulting with 10 years of industry experience. What I found is that in that 2.5 years, I learned more than I did those prior 10 years in industry. So what I'd say is it's a period of intense learning. It's also a period of intense work. And so be very intentional with what it is you want to get out of the experience of consulting. Take advantage of it now. And I think most firms are very open to boomerangs as well. So if you think you got everything you could handle right now, go to industry. Most firms will have big open arms if you left in the right way, if you want to come back in a few years. And so that's really how I looked at it, which is I went through a period of 2.5 years building up a very, I would say, very massive toolkit that allowed me to solve some big, meaty problems that I don't think I was not nearly as well prepared to solve previously. And I found that perfect opportunity where I could do that type of work and own that type of work all the way through to execution, seeing the result at the end of the day, being part of the organization. And so I intentionally tried to architect those last 12 months that I was at the firm to get those types of opportunities and reps where I felt, hey, this is an area I really still want to learn in. I really want to get exposure to. How can I align to either the partner that's doing that work, support that BD effort on a client that I know I want to get exposure to, or I know they have this type of problem that they're working on, and really helping to use that to round out that experience before I pivoted out.
No, that's great. I think that's great advice, right? And I have had people tell me, well, you only get to leave McKinsey once. You only get to leave, and I'm like, that's not really true. Like, there are definitely people that go back and forth to consulting in the industry. So you don't, it's not like the biggest decision of your life. It's an important decision, obviously, but I think that's very sound advice on what they should be focusing on while they're currently consulting. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. It was great getting to hear your experience and some of the struggles that you've gone through in transitioning, but appreciate it. And listeners, thank you for joining us on another episode of Beyond Consulting.
Thanks, Jason.